Thy strong word, we praise you and acknowledge you up through endless ranks of angels. Hi, this is Pastor Will Wheaton, inviting you to join us for our hymn sing at the 2026 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. This year's theme, Singing the Ancient Faith in Our Own Days. Making the Case is Friday, June 12th and Saturday, June 13th at Concordia University, Chicago. Find out more and register at issuesetc.org.
Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful. Jesus said, if anyone would come after me,
let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me.
Christ was wounded for our transgressions.
He was crushed for our iniquities.
The Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ according to the evangelist St. Mark. It was now 2 days before the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and the chief priests and the scribes were seeking how to arrest Jesus by stealth and kill him, for they said,
"Not during the feast, lest there be an uproar from the people."
And while he was at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, he was reclining at table. A woman came with an alabaster flask of ointment of pure nard, very costly, and she broke the flask and poured it over his head. There were some who said to themselves indignantly,
"Why was the ointment wasted like that? For this ointment could have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor."
And they scolded her. But Jesus said,
"Leave her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. For you always have the poor with you, and whenever you want, you can do good for them. But you will not always have me. She has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for burial. And truly I say to you, wherever the gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will be told in memory of her."
Then Judas Iscariot, who was one of the 12, went to the chief priests in order to betray him to them. And when they heard it, they were glad and promised to give him money. And he sought an opportunity to betray him. On the first day of unleavened bread, when they sacrificed the Passover lamb, Jesus' disciples said to him,
"Where will you have us go and prepare for you to eat the Passover?"
And he sent two of his disciples and said to them,
"Go into the city, and a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him, and wherever he enters, say to the master of the house, 'The teacher says, where is my guest room, where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' And he will show you a large upper room, furnished and ready. There prepare for us."
And the disciples set out and went to the city and found it just as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover. And when it was evening, he came with the 12. And as they were reclining at table and eating, Jesus said,
"Truly, I say to you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me."
They began to be sorrowful and to say to him one after another,
"Is it I?"
"It is one of the 12, one who is dipping bread into the dish with me. For the Son of Man goes as it is written of him. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that man if he had not been born.
And as they were eating, he took bread and, after blessing it, broke it and gave it to them, and said,
"Take, this is my body."
And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said to them,
"This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly I say to you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God."
And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. And Jesus said to them,
"You will all fall away, for it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered.' But after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee."
Peter said to him,
"Even though they all fall away, I will not."
"Truly, I tell you, this very night, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times."
But he said emphatically,
"If I must die with you, I will not deny you."
And they all said the same. And they went to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples,
"Sit here while I pray."
And he took with him Peter and James and John and began to be greatly distressed and troubled. And he said to them,
"My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch."
And going a little farther, he fell on the ground and prayed that, if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said,
"Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me. Yet not what I will, but what you will."
And he came and found them sleeping, and he said to Peter,
"Simon, are you asleep? Could you not watch 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak."
And again he went away and prayed, saying the same words. And again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were very heavy, and they did not know what to answer him. And he came the third time and said to them,
"Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? It is enough. The hour has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand."
While Jesus was still speaking, Judas came, one of the 12, and with him a crowd with swords and clubs, from the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. Now the betrayer had given them a sign, saying,
"The one I will kiss is the man. Seize him and lead him away under guard."
And when he came, he went up to him at once and said,
"Rabbi,"
and kissed him. And they laid hands on him and seized him. But one of those who stood drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. And Jesus said to them,
"Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs to capture me? Day after day I was with you in the temple teaching, and you did not seize me. But let the scriptures be fulfilled."
And they all left him and fled. And a young man followed him with nothing but a linen cloth about his body. And they seized him, but he left the linen cloth and ran away naked.
In the name of Jesus, Amen.
My wife had a high school classmate named Stacy. Stacy got pregnant unmarried and gave birth right around graduation. The little guy, Xavier, developed abdominal cancer. He spent his early months in the hospital, but they couldn't cure it. Stacy's baby, Xavier, died at just about 1.5 years old. We met a couple soon after moving to St. Louis. Ted and Connie had a daughter and a son that were our kids' age, all of them lifelong Lutheran, regular members of the congregation. But Ted decided he didn't want a father and husband anymore. That's what he told Connie. I just don't want marriage or parenting anymore. So he divorced her, and the three had to figure it out. Middle-aged cousin Richard never left the nest. Then he buried his mom and his dad and his only sister inside of 10 years. The house got so lonely, he took his own life. A group chat got hold of Quentin's explicit texts and poor judgment pics. Next thing you know, the cops came knocking. The Cruises lost everything when their moving van caught fire. Tony had his leg amputated in a motorcycle wreck. Everybody hurts. Thus said one of my generation's prophets. Shall I sing it, or can you hear Michael Stipe in your mind? Life is pain. Anyone who says differently is selling something. It's another sage observation from the 80s. So should we take comfort or take caution? Everybody hurts. None worse off than anyone else. But everybody hurts. So there's not really any hope of being better off either. Mark chapter 14, 15, even Jesus hurts. Even God in the flesh suffers. Even the deity feels pain. This place, this race, it means agony also for him. Now, is that good news or bad news? Jesus, sold out by a close friend, backstabbed by a confidant, the one born of woman, lynch mobbed and kangaroo courted. Behold, the man, cuffed, clubbed, stripped, descendant of Adam, whips and fists and spit, the offspring of Eve, thorn-punctured, nail-pierced, spear-plunged. Guards torment and governors make sport. Priests agitate, prisoners badger. His buddies abandon him, his disciples betray him. His countrymen perjure, and even the bystanders just encourage all of it. How can misery ever amount to good news? I mean, sure, everybody hurts, because pain travels in packs and posses. Now, we're not talking about just owies and boo-boos here. Everybody hurts in excess of irritation. Everybody hurts beyond bothers and hassles. Think along the lines of aching, affliction, trauma. And these strains of pain simply do not come around alone. The sensation, of course, is often bad enough on its own, but it lugs along an accomplice. It brings a sidekick called interpretation. Yeah, the feeling of pain throws its left jab and leaves people reeling, but the meaning that we perceive in pain lands the right knockout uppercut. Suffering roughs us up most because it exposes. Suffering unveils, it reveals us. Suffering uncovers and floodlights you. It corners and perp walks and makes you naked. Suffering renders you raw. It lays you bare, and this bearing makes it unbearable. Suffering exposes you as not invincible. It exposes you as not as impressive or as improving as you had assumed. Suffering exposes you not as inconspicuous or as ingenious as you'd like to believe, not as immune, not as impervious as you sometimes pretend. Independent? Not as long as I suffer. Liberated? No, because I still hurt. And suffering exposes you as not innocuous. Suffering exposes you as not innocent. You have to face that your choices come with consequences, that your decisions do damage. And all of your self-expressing doesn't stay private or benign. It is sin that does this. And the same sin that does it to us also does it through us. We gossip, we ogle, but she hurts. We idolize, we indulge, but he hurts. We covet, we curse, but they hurt. We neglect or we inflict, and it hurts. Everybody hurts. Now you can do all of the equity and the de-escalating that you like, but we still can't keep ourselves from hurting. Now, you ready to repent yet? It is the only honest answer left to suffering. Acknowledge that you ought to stop turning to disobedience and trusting in law-breaking before it becomes too late. Admit we need to quit reaching for rebellion and relying on wrongdoing because the exposure is going to turn total. Agree that we have to not snuggle under transgressions and hide behind trespasses before it ends up irreversible. Suffering exposes. On the other hand, exposed makes you no longer alone. Exposed means not on your own anymore. Bad news? Perhaps. But good news. After all, actually, good news, God knows. Now, Almighty God knows. Heavenly Father, he sees it too. His right hand, Jesus, he feels it with you. Jesus makes good news of misery by commiserating. Jesus suffers right by each of us, you and me. His coming among us repurposes suffering into sympathy. He incarnates our nature, takes our pathos, and makes compassion. Exposed equals an end to isolation. Think of it this way. The God who goes everywhere literally aches to get next to you. Jesus, this Christ of what once was, of what is right now, of evermore shall be, his body understands and remembers. His flesh bruises and bleeds after your likeness, yours. The same stings burn his head. The same pangs bitter his heart, fingers and feet. He carries and shares all our sorrows. The Lord Jesus suffers. Shoulder to shoulder, hand in hand, tear for tear, together with you. This friend of failures draws near in an excruciating tenderness. And he comes close to compensate, to reconcile. This brother of sinners accompanies you in tortured love. And he abides alongside to forgive and to favor. This is forgiveness forever. That it wasn't pain that pinned Messiah to a cross. Pain affixed him to the afflicted. It bound him to you. Even after he's come back from death, he accepted pain instead of stink-eyeing it, and that exhausts all pain of its punishment. Now here is a salvation that is true. That misfortune wasn't what fastened our Christ to the cross. It is what attached him to us. Even when he has ascended on high, he embraced misfortune instead of stiff-arming it. And that empties also your misfortune of any permanence. So we have heaven already. Because it's not hardship that held your Savior to his cross. It's what adheres him to you. Even though he is enthroned in glory, Jesus withstood, and he stomachs, and he always will swallow up guilt and grief. He has not, he will not, he cannot separate from suffering or sufferers. Not when this Lord so desperately delights to intertwine us into his own paradise. You see, suffering exposes both us and God. The heart of our Maker has burst open to mingle his lifeblood with your own broken heart. And as sure as pressing the fruit gives the wine its savor, we know that he won't leave us isolated. Because becoming vulnerable makes one available. To be sure, forsaking all else, including yourself, it hurts. But it binds us one to the other in a blessed belonging. And now the commiserating of Christ Jesus wastes no pain. Jesus has custody of the entire collection of human hurts. So behold, he has vacated your grave, disarmed the devil, and undone hell. Your right hand, Jesus, he has already crippled the uppercuts, and soon enough, one by one, he will incapacitate whatever pesky jabs linger. Your flesh is gonna get used to it. He'll help you learn how to celebrate much of what you bemoan. And in the meantime, he is busy bearing arms and laying hands on every last quantum of creation until all of it submits to his will and serves your welfare. So receive him. Rest in it. Rejoice. Remember those dear tokens of his passion still his dazzling body bears. And the Lamb, though raised again, has not forgotten how getting slain hurts. In fact, Jesus never tires of staring at the scars and tracing his fingertips upon their outlines. Everybody hurts, but nobody needs to do it alone, because suffering exposes God too. And Christ commiserating, it actually makes the hurt better. That includes Stacy and Xavier and Ted and Connie. It extends also to Richard and Quentin and Tony and the Cruises. Are you going to miss out on the privilege of commiserating with any of them? It's a blessing to consider the one struggling in silence or solitude. It's a gift for you to be able to visit, listen, to sit accessible, even susceptible under their cross. There is goodness to cry, to complain, to carry the weight, not so much for them as with them. I promise you, Jesus eagerly anticipates meeting you there. Amen. And may the Lord, who has begun this good work in you, carry it on to its completion at the day of our Lord Jesus Christ.
O Lord,
have mercy.
O Christ,
have mercy.
O Lord,
have mercy.
O Christ,
hear us.
God the Father in heaven, God the Son, Redeemer of the world,
have mercy.
God the Holy Spirit,
have mercy.
Be gracious to us.
Spare us, O Lord.
Be gracious to us. From all sin, from all error, from all evil, from the crafts and assaults of the devil, from sudden and evil death, from pestilence and famine, from war and bloodshed, from sedition and from rebellion, from lightning and tempest, from all calamity by fire and water, and from everlasting death. By the mystery of your holy incarnation, by your holy nativity, by your baptism, fasting, and temptation, by your agony and bloody sweat, by your cross and passion, by your precious death and burial, by your glorious resurrection and ascension, and by the coming of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. In all time of our tribulation, in all time of our prosperity, in the hour of death and in the day of judgment, we poor sinners implore you
to hear us, Lord.
To rule and govern your holy Christian church, to preserve all pastors and ministers of your church in the true knowledge and understanding of your wholesome word, and to sustain them in holy living, to put an end to all schisms and causes of offense, to bring into the way of truth all who have erred and are deceived, to beat down Satan under our feet, to send faithful laborers into your harvest, and to accompany your word with your grace and spirit.
We implore you to hear us, O Lord.
To raise those who fall and to strengthen those who stand, and to comfort and help the weak-hearted and the distressed.
We implore you to
To give all peoples concord and peace, to preserve our land from discord and strife, to give our country your protection in every time of need, to direct and defend our president and all in authority, to bless and protect our magistrates and all our people, to watch over and help all who are in danger, necessity, and tribulation, to protect and guide all who travel, to grant all women with child and all mothers with infant children increasing happiness in their blessings, to defend all orphans and widows and provide for them, to strengthen and keep all sick persons and young children, to free those in bondage, and to have mercy on us all.
We implore you to hear us, O Lord.
To forgive our enemies, persecutors, and slanderers, and to turn their hearts, to give and preserve for our use the kindly fruits of the earth, and graciously to hear our prayers.
We implore you to hear us, O Lord.
Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God,
we implore you to hear us.
Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world,
have mercy.
Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world,
grant us your peace.
O Christ, enter not into judgment with your servant. Almighty God, you know we live in the midst of so many dangers that in our frailty we cannot stand upright. Grant strength and protection to support us in all dangers and carry us through all temptations. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Almighty and Merciful Lord, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, bless and preserve us.
Amen.